The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Not messing around on a Monday. Right into it. Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. Mark Schlereth in the building. Happy Monday. We hope you all had a great weekend. You can finally untether yourself from the backyard. You can take the dog down. You might want to go get him. He's probably caught up in the tree after all the wind this weekend. Mark, you got lucky. You didn't have to experience Chinookageddon that we had.
No, I did not.
But it was rough, man. Like 100-mile-an-hour winds down in my neck of the woods, for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was whipping. We were without power for a solid 24 hours.
A little bumpy coming out. A little bumpy coming out on Friday. A little bumpy coming back in last night. But had a great weekend in North Idaho, and I'm glad that you're all right. I'm glad you didn't get blown away.
No, I didn't. But I did come down here today on my kite.
Yes.
So,
all right, well,
I hung
good.
It up outside. Hopefully it's still there when I get there. So. You were in North Idaho.
Yes.
You had a good time. You got honored, or you were doing the honoring?
Doing the honoring. I ended up speaking at the North Idaho Hall of Fame induction, and then we gave out a bunch of awards to, you know, all the kids from the schools in those areas, you know, and the coaches. And so it's a big 1,000 people showed up. It was pretty cool, man. I had a good time.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
A bunch of University of Idaho alumni, and
sing that fight song.
Yeah. You came and tried from the North Bergen Bowl, baby. But, you know, got to see them. Got to see some guys that I played with, you know, got to hang out a little bit over the weekend. So that was cool. Ended up going to have lunch with one of my old head coaches, Coach Keith Gilbertson. So, you know, legend up there in North Idaho. So really cool. Really cool event and a cool weekend. It was great.
That sounds awesome. That sounds
Mark
awesome.
Mark in Idaho is like David Hasselhoff in Germany.
Yeah, no kidding. Right. Well, you know that when he touches down, that's when the red carpet gets rolled out and the coronation ceremony begins.
Correct.
You're going to get a coronation ceremony today. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but as far as the NCAA tournament goes, my friend, you sit atop our bracket pool.
I don't know
if you've been paying attention.
I did not pay attention to what I picked.
Yeah.
But I did pay attention now that I'm leading. But yeah, I think I could be in trouble.
You could be in trouble? Well, it's you and Mace, who both had UConn and Purdue in the title game.
Right.
And not to pump my own tires too much, but I originally had that, and then I was like, I need to be different. This is the bracket.
Yeah.
I need to show that my brain is bigger than everybody else's, so I'm going to pick North Carolina. Well,
good luck on that.
Well, I finished third, so yeah. I tip my hat to thee, sir.
I've got to tell you, though, the way UConn's playing, I have Purdue in the final. Mace has UConn.
So, oh, is that right? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, so Mace, okay, I think, is going to, unless something crazy happens.
Well, we'll get back.
Let's eat somebody. I think that I'm probably gonna get usurped by Mace, who's on my list, by the way.
Is he on your list?
Yeah, he wrote a hit piece on me.
Oh, hit job.
Yeah, he
smear
wrote a
campaign.
Total smear hit job.
Oh,
and
my
he has
God.
Not retracted it. And, oh, by the way, then Pro Football Focus came out. Not that I put a lot of merit into Pro Football Focus, but they did come out and graded, because the whole thing started on protection and how many sacks and this, that, and the other, and how long he holds the ball. The whole piece came out that the Denver Broncos offensive line was credited with 15 of the 45 sacks given up.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm fed up.
Yeah.
Fed up.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
You and Kim Mulkey.
So,
all right,
yeah,
look,
so
we'll get back to the NCAA tournament.
Me, though, and I don't like that.
And your list here coming up. I do want to start last night because it's Monday morning. I mean, your thoughts, your intentions have set the tone for the week. Unfortunately, we got to get some rough stuff because last night the Avs, 7-4, they hosted the Stars. They lost to the Stars. And in doing so, Mark, the Central Division most likely is going to Dallas now. Dallas has, you know, a good shot to win the West here. And last night, no Mikko Rantanen. That happened on Friday night. We haven't talked about that yet. Oilers, 6-2 on Friday. They lost in Edmonton, second night of a back-to-back. Matthias Ekholm absolutely tags Mikko Rantanen up high. Clean hit, I thought. But concusses him, for sure. Bednar said yesterday that he's in protocol. So they played without him last night. They played without Miles Wood last night. And Georgiev, again, a bit of a rough evening, although Jared Bednar didn't seem to think so. We'll break some of his comments down later, but That would seem to be curtains for the division for the Avalanche, barring something unforeseen happening here.
Yeah, I will tell you, man, watching last night's game, because I didn't see the game 6-2 against Edmonton. So I'll just, full disclosure, I was in full Idaho mode at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I did watch last night's game, and I know no random, but I just came away with that game saying, man, the Dallas Stars are deeper, and the style with which they play, there wasn't a lot of getting loose for the Avs. And a couple of the goals, I mean, come on, the Walker goal right off the bat.
Lucky.
That's not a, like that, if you're the goaltender for Dallas, that's not a goal that you're happy about giving up, right?
That was a bit of a knuckle puck there from the blue line, Russ Tyler.
Yeah, so I walked away from that last night going, shoot, if you got in a series with Dallas,
you're in trouble.
I don't know that you can beat them four times.
This is the best version, I would say, of Dallas the last couple of years, I think. I mean, they are four lines deep. They're rolling them. They added Chris Tanev at the deadline, and their blue line is much better. Jake Ottinger is kicking in the net really well right now. He played a great game last night. The Avs did mount a bit of a comeback, and they didn't go away. And I thought that was good to see because there was an opportunity there where I thought, hey, man, this thing might get away from them just like it did in Edmonton again. But it was the second period where they really lost the game, right? Because they're in that thing. It's a 2-2 hockey game 5 minutes into the second period, and then you get the unlucky, you know, double minor, high sticking call. Dallas cashes both sides of the double minor, which, I mean, when that happens, you're down 4-2, you're in a bad spot, and eventually it just, you didn't have enough to come back, and the Stars held on. So as it stands, it is most likely that the Avs face the Winnipeg Jets in the first round of the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
Now we just wait to see, is it going to be here or is it going to be there? The Avs still have to play for home ice or the second or the third seed. So they play Winnipeg here coming up a little bit later this week. We'll get back into the Avalanche, talk about the fallout from that loss and when we can expect to see Mikko Rantanen back on the ice. Last night, though, I mean, what a game. Iowa and South Carolina, the end of a spectacular career. Caitlin Clark. That's it, man. That's it. Yeah. We'll dive into it next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Happy Monday. Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. It's a Reaction Monday. Make sure you're hopping in on the text line. You know the drill. Mark Schlereth in the building. We have so much to get to. It was a wild sports weekend across the board. And we have to start the world of college basketball, and we'll get to the women's national title game, and we'll get to the men's Final Four, but that news last night was overshadowed by John Calipari dipping for Arkansas. He took a lot of backlash, and he has been lately, from the Kentucky fan base, and it seems like maybe something went down over the weekend, and a Sunday night news drop for the ages. Coach Cal, after all these years, is out at Kentucky, but not because he got fired, because he took the job at Arkansas.
Unbelievable, right? Unreal. Like, and what? I don't know what the.
Yeah,
I don't know
no
what the,
kidding.
What's the? What was the purpose? Like, I saw the news, but has he explained it? Has he explained?
I imagine they're probably going to have a presser at some point, if not today, then tomorrow. It sounds like it's going to be a 5-year deal, and we're talking about it's going to be a monster. Talking about maybe $20 million a year. And part of the reason why they're saying the impetus was there for him to leave, he was taking a lot of backlash from Kentucky fans because of the one-and-done era that, you know, he kind of helped create.
Mm-hmm.
Well, He didn't adapt. He didn't adapt very well to the NIL. And if you look right now at UConn and at Purdue, what do we know about both these teams? You've got experienced guys on it. You've got transfers. You've got upperclassmen. Because the freshmen, the five-star phenoms, those teams haven't been winning lately because you've had a lot of kids in school for extended periods of time with the COVID year.
Right.
Look at it. Zach Edey. Look at UConn. It's the same situation. You've got experience there. You've got two teams that have been to the tournament and probably, as Edey said yesterday in the press conference, have been two of the best programs in the country the last 2 years. It's tough to win right now with five-star freshmen if that's all you're doing. And apparently the NIL money, the name, image, likeness money that's available to Calipari at Kentucky is not nearly what it's going to be at Arkansas because they've got the Tyson Chicken family. That's big chicken yes. money down there.
Yeah, there is huge chicken money down there in Tyson.
It's a big bird money. Big, a lot of fowl money.
That and Walmart money down there in Bennington. It's Bennington, or I think it's something like that.
Walmart money and it's chicken money.
Yeah, it is chicken money.
It's old school, you know, family chicken money.
Right, like exactly. That is. There's no question about that. So
he's going to have that to work with.
And he's going to figure out this new... That NIL stuff, by the way, I had a long conversation with my ex, you know, my old head coach just about the NIL stuff. And, you know, and of course, John Freeze, a quarterback that played in the league a long time, was a quarterback for us at the University of Idaho. Mm. Great player.
Big NIL program up there.
Yeah, Idaho. Big NIL. I want my $1.57 of my, my restitution. I want a $1.57 for all the years I gave to Idaho. But yeah, just like, how is this thing gonna balance out? You know, because you start to think about like, didn't Arch Manning leave Texas?
No,
Arch Manning didn't leave Texas.
No,
he's still there.
Yeah,
but you think about Arch like getting millions of dollars to go and just to be a backup, right?
His freshman year, yeah. He's one of the guys doing it old school that's actually sticking it out. He could have left.
Okay.
Because Quinn Ewers is going to start again this year for Texas. But, yeah, no, Arch is going to stick it out. But Arch also isn't ready for the moment yet.
Well, regardless, guys that you're paid, like, I just think about what starts happening if, you know, you pay some kid to come there or some guy to transfer that's you're paying $1 million to or whatever, and he's just not very good.
That happens all the time.
Right.
Well, Kansas has been doing that. The last guy on the end of the bench for Kansas basketball has been making like 1.3, even if you don't play. So a lot of upperclassmen just end up transferring to Kansas using that final year and taking the, you know, check and saying, thanks, Bill Self. So, you know, they've had to kind of roll that back. Eventually, Mark, what's going to happen is you're going to see regulation eventually come to college sports. It's just not there yet because there's no strong leadership. We got off track just a little bit. I do want to get to the women's college basketball game. We said that the national title game that we saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina eventually overwhelmed Iowa, and the end of Caitlin Clark's career is here, at least collegiate career, because this is not the last we've heard of her. But the numbers came out from Iowa and UConn, and we didn't have a chance to talk about this. She set a record for Iowa LSU at 12.3, and then Iowa UConn, the number came in at like 14.3, peaked at 17 million. Mm-hmm. It was ESPN's most watched basketball game, college or pro, of all time, Iowa UConn. I can't wait to see what the numbers for yesterday's game was.
Right.
And so South Carolina, 87-75. They just proved to be too much. They just have too much size. They were dominant on the glass. And Iowa got out to a good start. I mean, they were up like 20-11. Clark hit a couple of big threes for mm-hmm. me. Maybe got away with a couple of push-offs there, some offensive fouls. But Iowa hung in there, and they fought till the end. But at the end of the day, once they put Raven Johnson on her in kind of, you know, man-to-man defense, she held her to 5 of 20 from the field. I mean, look, if you're going to give up that many offensive rebounds, Mark, you're going to have to shoot like 60% from the field to win that game. And even Caitlin acknowledged that afterwards.
Right. I think that's one of the big things, you know, and we hear Nuggets coach Michael Malone talking about it all the time. Like, hey, man, you got to be on the glass. And when we get out-rebounded, you know, because when you get out-rebounded, you get those second chances, the frustration of the second chance. So you've defended through the whole, you know, through the whole clock, the shot clock. And then all of a sudden they hoist one up. It's no good. It rattles off the rim, but they get another opportunity to hold the ball and to get it, you know, tip back or whatever it is. It's a frustrating situation. And so that is where that is where that game was lost. They're just bigger, and they were better, and they were better at the rebounding. And that's, you know, that's like you said, you're going to have to be lights out, not miss a damn thing, if that's the style you're going to play with.
They out-rebounded them 51-29. At the end of the day, you get out-rebounded 51-29. You're going to have to shoot at least 50% from three, probably, is the equalizer there. Too much size. So Dawn Staley, get this. All right? The record over the last three seasons for South Carolina basketball, 109-3.
It's amazing.
They've won two of the last three national titles. They've been to three straight Final Fours. They've won three straight SEC titles. And she herself has won three consecutive Naismith Coach of the Year awards. She's got to go immediately onto the Mount Rushmore of women's college basketball head coaching now with another title, right? If she wasn't already.
It's amazing what she's been able to do. And, you know, and loved her press conference afterwards praising Caitlin Clark. You know, there's been a lot of, there have been a lot of strays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a lot of people taking their shots. But, I mean, honestly, what she's done for women's college basketball, I mean, who would have ever thought that was appointment television? I got to watch. I mean, I sat down.
Yeah, I couldn't wait for it yesterday.
Yeah, the nation has become mesmerized by this run by Iowa and Caitlin Clark, and it's pretty cool.
I know you were up in Idaho, and I'm not so sure if you had the chance to see. So on Saturday, they had the practices where at the same gym, the Cavaliers gym, was the arena was where they played the Final Four national title game. They sold 19,000 tickets to practice.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
19,000.
Just to watch practice.
Just to watch practice. And it was electric, the atmosphere in there. So they, like I told Kyle on Sunday, I said, look, sometimes you just have to acknowledge what your eyes are telling you, and you're watching something pretty darn special. And so it's been interesting to see some of these girls, you know, Diana Taurasi, Brianna Stewart, Sue Bird, kind of all entrenched. Lynette Woodard, we'd heard, you know, kind of throwing barbs and maybe not acknowledging or supporting Caitlin to the fullest extent, which I think is understandable because clearly these are, you know, these are women who have accomplished a lot, won a lot, and they want to make sure that they're not just going to hand the baton down to just anybody. But at the same time, this is what women in this sport have been asking for. They've been asking for your attention. They've been asking for you to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're watching. Now is the time to completely support her, to completely endorse what's happening, because you want the growth of your game.
Sure.
And I think that's why you saw Dawn Staley, as you mentioned, afterwards in her presser, you know, kind of coming out to support her. And we've seen the unanimous support, even LeBron James tweeting it yesterday. If you don't mess with Caitlin Clark, I don't mess with you, that type of thing. So it's been really cool to see the last couple of years what she's done for the college game. Now the big question is, can she do this for the WNBA?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that'll be interesting because, you know, and I understand from a guy who played for a long time, you see how the game has changed. And, you know, there is that aspect of you that says, man, I just want people to recognize what, like I did, what the guys before me went through to give me a platform and a place to play that was better. And then what my generation did for you cats, getting free agency, getting all that stuff, just recognize the fact that a lot of people sacrificed so you could have it good. And I think for a lot of the, you know, the current players and the Diana Taurasis of the world who are great, you know, WNBA players, they were great college players. They're just like, hey, listen, this next step is going to be tough. And we're going to make it tough on you. And, you know, they'll question whether she can really dominate at the next level. And maybe she can, maybe she can't. But they're just, you know, I mean, they're protecting their turf to a degree.
They're gatekeeping,
And I understand that. But it's undeniable what she's done for the game. Undeniable.
And I think that's the point of it, right? Sometimes it's bigger than just that. And there will be time for that. There will be time for the putting her in her place. But this is, you know, her moment. I think a lot of people just said, hey.
But I feel this way when I analyze the prospects coming out in the draft, and you analyze, you know, the quarterbacks, and you're like, there's a lot of things that, you know, the guy does athletically that are incredible, but there is so much more that happens in professional football. And it's almost like a warning, like, hey, before you guys get all like you think you're going to draft a guy and he's just going to change your franchise. Remember, it only happens about 20% of the time with the guys that you draft out of college. The other ones, they can't get that done. So it just is interesting. And I understand that perspective from from some of the legends of the game.
The Avs gave up 7 goals, but Jared Bednar said he was happy with Alexander Georgiev last night. Let's hear his reasoning next in the Morning Brew.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. First up in the Morning Brew, the Avs, 7-4 losers last night at Ball Arena, hosting the Dallas Stars. Whew, 7 goals. Well, Jared Bednar says it wasn't the goalie's fault.
I thought he was great tonight. I did. I mean, you can't fault him on any of the goals. I think there probably one that he legged back was the one that squeaked through him on the quick slip to the middle in the power play. But, I mean, he was good. I mean, we just, the quality, well, and quantity, like the defending breakdowns that we had, we did some dumb stuff today.
Mark, the Stars now 107 points. They have firm control of the Central here coming down the home stretch in the last week of the season, because it is the last week of the regular season in the NHL. Colorado probably going to miss out in the division this year, but they will most likely face Winnipeg. Now all that remains to be seen is whether or not they're going to open up here as the 2 seed or open up in Winnipeg as the 3 seed.
How concerned are you with their last 7 games, 2-4, blown out by Edmonton, 7 goals given up. And you know, you can say what you want about Georgie's game, but last 2.5 minutes of the first period, giving up 2 goals, like lack of attention to detail, breakdowns, some of those things that went on. So, what's your concern-o-meter right now for the Stanley Cup playoff run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty concerned. I mean, look, it's a different team without Mikko Rantanen, but I've been concerned dating back to last year. Now, they brought in a lot of pieces at the trade deadline, but the team that they brought all those pieces into, I thought was a ways away from being a legit deep-run contender.
Sure.
And they went on a bit of a run when they all got here. Now, it's not easy because it's starting to remind me a little bit of last year where you get 2 guys back and then 2 guys go out and... Yeah. It's kind of like playing with one hand tied behind your back. But last night, you give up the division. I don't mind the matchup with Winnipeg. Now, that being said, Winnipeg has definitely had the Avs number this year, and you're going up against maybe the Vezina winner in Connor Hellebuck in that first-round matchup. So it's going to be a test of wills right out of the chute, and the West is loaded. There's no doubt about it. We'll get back into the Avs here coming up a little bit later. Next up in the Morning Brew, it was not to be a fairy tale for Caitlin Clark.
Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its 3rd national championship.
We saw, Mark, Iowa and UConn smash ESPN's all-time record for views for a college basketball game. In fact, there were only 5 college football games last season that drew more views, and it outdrew any NBA Finals game. It outdrew any Stanley Cup playoff game. It is a remarkable, remarkable movement. The question now becomes, can Caitlin Clark do this in the WNBA?
Can she have that impact? I just am going to say no. I don't know. I don't know what will make the WNBA appointment television. And I just don't think, as good as she was in college, as unbelievable as her career was, you know, the all-time leading scorer, both men's and women's, doesn't matter. All those things, Iowa, you know, the Midwest, the whole 9 yards. I don't know that she can elevate the WNBA. I just don't know that that has staying power.
It's a tall order.
Yeah.
You need somebody to do spectacular things. And I think that's probably the nexus of what the phenomenon surrounding her has been in college, right? It's not that she just pulls up from 35 feet, is that she does it consistently and makes them consistently. Can you do that at the next level? Now, I will say there are moments I've seen over the run where she's making some great passes, but her teammates just can't finish. I'm very curious to see what it looks like when she's playing with other professionals. If anybody is gonna do it, it's gonna be her. I just, as you said, that's a very tall order. So yeah. We'll see. I mean, no rest for the wicked. The WNBA draft is coming up. I believe that's next month. Next up in the Morning Brew, Caitlin after the game said, it's the end of the road for now, but she's quite proud of what she's done.
Yeah, it's certainly been a special year. And to be honest, like, after last year, I was kind of like, well, how do we top doing what we did last year? And somehow, some way, every single person in our locker room believed. And to be honest, this year was probably more special than last year. You know, the teams we had to go through to get to this point, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament. We lost two players that were three-year starters for our program. And to be back in this position and come out here and battle, I mean, South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do. I mean, Cardoso has 17 rebounds. They have 51 as a team. We have 29. Like, hard to win a basketball game like that. You basically got to shoot perfect at that point. And, you know, I'm just proud of our group. We, you know, we never back down.
She's right. I mean, if you're going to get out-rebounded by that kind of a margin, you're going to have to be nearly flawless. And defensively, Raven Johnson, once she got switched on to Caitlin Clark, held her to 5 of 20 from the field. It just wasn't to be for Iowa. They ran into a better team. You had the classic situation of the best team and the best player meeting up in the finals. And credit to Caitlin, back-to-back national championship appearances. But Iowa does become the first program since Mississippi State 17-18 to lose back-to-back national title games.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it would be cool to see them win, but I think Dawn Staley, her program, all class, and obviously they're great. I mean, they're a juggernaut. They are great. So good for them. Congratulations. And I tell you what, it was fun. I never thought I'd be sitting down on appointment television to watch. You know, I'm watching on the plane yesterday.
Right.
So it was just like, I got to find this thing. So pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It's come a long way. Next up in the brew. Oh boy. Are we talking about this again? Really?
They're horrible. You mark that down, all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it. So I'd love to see those come out of the humidor tomorrow in a little better shape before they get rubbed up. But, you know, that's nobody to blame but myself for not being able to adjust to some of the quality issues.
That's Rays reliever Pete Fairbanks, who got tuned up in the bottom of the ninth on opening day last Friday when Ryan McMahon walked it off with the salami for the Rockies as they won 10-7 on opening day. Was a hell of a game, but here he comes after the game talking about the bad baseballs. Really, bud?
Yeah.
You lost to the Rockies. All right, we get it. I'd want to make an excuse too. All right?
Come on, man.
You can't.
Bad baseballs out of the humidor, Mark.
Terrible.
Just terrible baseballs.
Just terrible baseballs.
And if it weren't for those baseballs that were so inconsistent, then we would have won, and I wouldn't have given up all of those runs in the bottom of the ninth. So get those humidor balls in check.
Get the balls in check, but, you know, you got to throw strikes. I didn't do that. But mostly.
But no excuses.
But mostly.
But get the balls in check.
Because the balls you gave. Listen, man, it's the Rockies. I get it. You lost to essentially a AAA team. I get it. Sometimes you just got to wear it.
I'd like to see those balls come out of the humidor tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them.
I was horrible. End of story.
No excuses, no explanations. Do your job.
That's how we do it in this town. I can't say what you do in Tampa. Those Tampa teams, sensitive teams, sensitive fans. All right, when we come back on the other side, the Nuggets with an offensive explosion on Saturday. We'll shed the details next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. Happy Monday. It is a Reaction Monday. On Saturday, we take a look back. The Nuggets 142-110 over the Hawks. A season high 142, by the way. A season high 23 made threes. No Aaron Gordon, but a sight for sore eyes. After 7 games, Jamal Murray returned to the lineup. And Mark, it settled the nerves a little bit. I can only speak for myself, but it was good to see Jamal back on the floor.
It is, and I'd said this for a while. At some point, like, I want him to be healthy, but at some point, he needs to be on the court. Like, I always think about just kind of quote-unquote basketball, football, hockey shape. There's only so much you can do, you know, riding a bike, working on the treadmill, doing those things to get yourself ready and prepared. And, you know, we used to talk about it all the time. As hard as you work in the off season, all that stuff, there is nothing like, You're still the first couple of days of practice, man. You're sore as all get out because there's a different there's a different level of fitness when you're actually playing and practicing the game as opposed to, you know, just getting ready to play and practice the game. So that was my concern, is I just want him in shape. I just want him in basketball shape when the playoffs start. He didn't have to go 38 minutes a night. You know, I think he went 20 minutes. That's okay. That, like, I just needed to see a little bit of that. So that was, like you said, sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, Malone said he was on a minutes restriction. He played 21 minutes at 16 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. Look, you just need him to start to knock a little bit of the rust off. Like you said, get your legs back up under you so that you can be ready in lockstep in this foxhole with us when round one kicks off, because we're not too far away. The play-in games start April 16th. I mean, we're 8 days away from that. So we were doing a little scoreboard watching last night, though. Minnesota was in L.A., and I think something interesting happened. LeBron, I think, came down with the Nuggets flu. I know he's been dealing with the ankle and been managing that ankle, but it was widely assumed that LeBron was going to play up until, like, midday yesterday. He was ruled out. And look, I mean, you can put on your tinfoil hat if you want to, but I don't think you have to stretch it too far to call it a conspiracy to think that the Lakers might not want to see the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs this year. So he didn't play. Minnesota won. And now Denver and the Timberwolves are tied atop the Western Conference.
Yeah, I can see that. And by the way, you know, I mean, especially when you look at the history here, what is it, nine straight wins that the Nuggets have over the over the Lakers?
Something like that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I could definitely see the saying, hey, man, like, we want to make sure that we've got a good matchup in round one. Regardless of what Nick Wright says, like, the Nuggets would be the team that the Lakers actually want to match up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would, Nick.
Yeah, I think he said that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they remember getting broomed right out of the building in four games last year.
But Winhor said it was the best sweep he's ever seen.
It was the best sweep.
Yeah, the best, like, the Lakers just, I mean, that was the
most competitive performance getting swept that he's ever seen.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the good news for the Nuggets is coming down the stretch, you want to buy some rest for your guys wherever you can. Mm-hmm. No starter played over 30 minutes except for Jokic, who played 31 and had a triple-double in those 31 minutes, his 25th of the year, three consecutive seasons now with 25 triple-doubles for the big man. And then KCP was outstanding again. I feel like we definitely have to shout him out. 9-12 from the field, 24 points. You like to see the Nuggets rounding back into form. You got a night off for Aaron Gordon against an Atlanta Hawks team. That Atlanta Hawks team is going to be in the play-in in the East. The East is weak, okay? If we learned anything from Saturday, the East is not a good conference. And I guess we knew that already, but man.
Yeah, it's nothing like obviously the juggernaut that is the West with all the great teams, but they do have a couple of teams in the East, a couple of teams that concern you to a degree. I'll tell you what.
Who?
Well, I mean, obviously Boston is good.
Sure.
I just like the tenacity, and I like Brunson, and I like the Knicks just kind of as
the Knicks?
The toughness.
No, I'm not worried about the Knicks. I mean, Julius Randle isn't coming back.
Well,
maybe if he were.
Right. But I understand that. But I'm just saying they've got some toughness and some tenacity to them.
When was the last time the Knicks had any playoff success?
Well, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
And then who else would be?
Oh.
Worried about the Doc Rivers-led Bucks?
No.
Who lost to the Knicks on their home floor last night?
See, because the Knicks.
Yeah.
Because
of scrappy, scrappy Knicks.
What about Philly with Embiid back? I'm not worried about Embiid. I just don't think.
I don't know. I feel like if he is healthy, they could make a run. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But again, they always choke. Nobody really scares me in the East. Nobody does.
No.
But I'll say, the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards after the game last night said they're going to get Towns back. The Timberwolves do have my full attention, the way that they've played against the Nuggets this year. There's no question about it.
What about Phoenix?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Nuggets crossed that bridge last year. Is Bradley Beal, has he drastically changed the profile of that team? I'm not so sure I can say that.
Mm.
Are they any more scary to you this year than they were last year?
If they're completely healthy, which is anybody really going to be completely healthy, they do... I'm not scared about them beating us four times, but
they've got your attention.
They've got my attention. Yeah, I do believe they can give you a little bit of a tussle.
Yeah, I mean, they've beaten the Nuggets twice in the last couple of weeks here in Denver. So you're probably not wrong to think that way. The big game sets up on Wednesday, though. I mean, the Nuggets have a huge game. They're in Utah on Tuesday night, and they never play well in Utah. Three of their last four are on the road, and the final home game of the year is Wednesday night, 8 o'clock tip-off with Minnesota. That game is most likely for the Western Conference. For the the Northwest Division, Central Division, Northwest Division. I mean, it's nice to be in all these divisional races, but it's for the Northwest Division and most likely for the first seed in the West. It's a huge one on Wednesday.
Big one.
It's a statement game is what it really is.
Yeah, it does feel like almost kind of we got to squelch the uprising.
A little bit.
It does feel a little bit that way. It'll be interesting to see how Michael Malone approaches it. If he approaches it like, we got to win this game, you know, for our confidence, or I'm just going to manage my guys' minutes. Like, if he just says, it's not that important to me. It'll be interesting to see how he approaches and how the Nuggets approach it. I just feel like, you know, Sandy Clough used to say this all the time, and we've used it on this show all the time. You know, you can't manufacture desperation.
Sure.
I do feel like there's a little bit of...
Bow chicka bow wow.
It'll be a little bit of that,
thank you, Sandy.
You know, bow your back Nuggets performance. Like, we just want to make sure that you realize you're not coming in here and getting us.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not passing the baton this year. What do you think, we're about to hand it to you? No, you have to come take it out of our cold, dead hands.
It won't be like our 98 team who had, after a loss, went to Miami and did nothing. We showed nothing. We got beat, I don't know what the score was, 30-something to 20 or something like that. And then it was one of those things like, we don't care about this game.
Mm.
We're not going to show you anything because we may meet you in the playoffs. And when we meet you in the playoffs, we're going to unleash. We're going to throttle you. And then we beat them 38-3 in the divisional round, you know. So it'll be interesting just to see how the Nuggets approach it. But it feels more like we need to make sure you realize exactly who we are.
Why would they be scurred?
I think the baby is out with the bathwater on prioritizing health over the one seed. And it's not like they're not doing that. The actions have indicated that they are. Malone sat Murray, even though he said that if it were the playoffs, he could have played. But Jamal was asked about it after the game. He said, is the one seed important? He said, yeah, you better believe it. It's home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
Right.
So if Jamal holds that belief, good chance the rest of the team does as well, and the Nuggets have a chance to wrap up the one seed for the second consecutive year in the Western Conference, and that is the rest of this week. Four down territory when we come back.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.